You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look for ways we can work together to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, we have with us David Lytle. If you've not heard the first podcast where he shared the story where he lost his wife really quickly as a result of some terrible cancer, and then God worked in his life. God blessed him in a way where he was able to remarry. He and his new wife ended up having a son named Theodore, who passed away after a series of difficulties after being born. So he shared that in the last podcast, and I encourage you, if you haven't listened to that, to go back and listen to that if you would. But today, David's going to share with us some things that people did and some things that he experienced that were helpful for him as he's gone through most of these major grieving processes. So, David, thank you for coming back and being with us again today, my friend.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Well, what's the first thing that was quite helpful that other people did that helped you after the loss of your wife and later after the loss of your son? Kind of the first thing in those initial aftermath, and really as you were losing both of them, that people did that helped you along through that?
I guess probably the big thing, and I think this is what I talked about a little bit in the first one, in our first podcast together, but just the way that that God's people kind of rallied together, had so many people that were just, you know, tangibly helpful with things like a car at a really cheap price, a place to stay, food to eat, those kinds of things, where the churches that, you know, we were overseas. And so when I lost my wife, especially, we kind of like lost everything. You know, we're no longer going to be overseas, so we weren't going to be living where we were living, or working where I was working. And so, God's people, you know, God worked through his church, which is, you know, why the church is instituted by God. And so they really did do, you know, the work of God as kind of the hands and feet of Christ in that scenario.
And so I'm in my community, someone's experienced a terrible loss. It sounds like I could learn from this. They looked and said, well, what does Dave need? He needs a car. He needs a place to live. They need some food. He needs a job. He needs daycare. And so really it's not so much the words they said, it was the actions and that they took, and they just got busy acting is what it sounds like. And I think you've alluded to this elsewhere, but this really, you know, we read Matthew 25 and he talks about taking care of prisoners and the sick, and all of those examples he gives are actions that people take. And so what you're saying is people figured out, here's an action, here's a car at an inexpensive price, here's a place to live, the apartment that the deacon there provided, and a job. Wow, that surely helped you get your stability, didn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, just people took action. That's exactly right.
Now, a lot of times people don't know what to say. You know, the Theodore, it was going up, it was going down. It was quite a shock. People were here, weren't they, in Nashville, mm-hmm. with Bethany. What were things people did that were helpful as you were going through those particular situations?
Yeah, I think what I would say about that is, say as little as possible as when someone's in that situation, and this is something that's not necessarily easy for any of us, even myself. But you know, one thing I shared, I spoke on this and at the Tennessee State meeting, which is kind of what got me here at this podcast. But and I actually read a little bit from a book called Lament for a Son. I don't have the book with me right now, so I'm not going to read anything from the book. But he talks about People who come along and say things like God's got this, or, you know, Jeremiah 29:11 kind of thing. Yeah. And the author says, when people do that, is, you know, he says, you do not sit with me in my grief. And mm-hmm. I think what's really the best thing to do is to sit with someone in his or her grief, to mourn with them. I mean, the scriptures say to mourn with those who mourn. And I think that is the best. And I know it's probably difficult, for at least a lot of people to kind of swallow what they want to say. But that sort of, hey, everything's going to be okay approach kind of trivializes, you know, someone's experience. And I think that's the thing that we really don't want to do. And even Christians have a tendency to do that as well, in the sense of, hey, we'll talk about, like, you know, well, God's in control of everything. And, you know, this is no place really to get into like debates over sovereignty and what, you know, how that all works. And we, none of us understand that, but that kind of approach to those kinds of things, it really does kind of tend to trivialize what someone's experiencing at the time. And so I think the better approach is to just meet them where they are, and mm-hmm. to grieve along with them, to sit with them.
And that's hard, because we love people and we want to help them, but really what happened to you is not something that can be fixed with saying God's got this, or quoting a passage. And it's not recognizing my wife is dying or my son is dying. And, you know, everybody's read the book of Job, but we need to read it many more times. And the guys did a good job when they just sat there and they stayed. It's when they started talking that things went awry. And what you're saying is just sit there and be with me. In counseling, we call it the power presence. You know, we don't want you to say anything. We want you to put your arm around the person and just be there. And, because only God can fix this. You know, we can't say something to, it's just our presence and then those acts that kind of make it, I suspect, bearable, if you will.
Yeah, you mentioning the book of Job, it leads me to, this is something that I probably haven't talked about it enough. And one of the points that I made when I spoke on this was how pastors could or need to equip, you know, the saints, the people of God, with the entire canon of scripture. Mm-hmm. And honestly, in some ways, I kind of wish I would have started there, both right now and when I spoke, and I didn't. But, you know, that's okay.
It's all right.
But, you know, so this is kind of preemptively, right? Yeah. And I think this is something that really helped me, just being someone who did, fortunately, you know, being raised with incredible parents like mine, who did equip us with the Word of God, and in good churches, that equipped us, you know. So my experience, you know, I could experience loss through understanding kind of a robust theology of hope. Mm-hmm. You know, through the New Testament, through the resurrection of Christ, you know, understanding that. The book of Job, and kind of its, you know, that experiencing pain and loss, and God does not give Job the answers, and we're not, you know, we're not expected to have the answers or promised to have the answers. We're not told why things happen. So having that experience, or having that knowledge going into it, and, you know, things like the Psalms and just the lament portions of Scripture, the times where people struggle with God, they push against what, you know, what they feel like God is doing, and those kinds of things, and how God hears those and allows people to voice their complaints. Happens all the time in the Psalms. And so having kind of a much, I guess, a much fuller canon of scripture, rather than just, hey, we're going to go to our favorite verses all the time, the ones that make us feel better. Having a much fuller kind of approach to the scripture as a whole is a great place to, I think, kind of set up people for, I don't know if I should say success, but at least endurance through grief, because, you know, it's a house of cards. If your faith is kind of a house of cards when it comes to how solid it is, with how much you know of the scripture and how much you've taken that to heart, that difficulty will knock that down a lot more easily, I would think. So
it helps them be more resilient. Mm-hmm. I think what you're saying is, well, there are some people that really don't want to believe bad things happen to good people. So there must have been something that someone did or something, because if bad things happen to good people, then bad things could happen to me. And I think what you're saying is, hey, you read a passage like Psalm 46 and mm-hmm. it's talking about God's our refuge and strength, and basically the world turns upside down and God helps us through it, then that means your world may turn upside down one day if God's telling you how to get through it. And mm-hmm. if there's a book like Job, then we're all probably going to experience grief, maybe not on the level you've experienced, but we're all going to have some grief throughout our lives. And so that book is there to help us through that. So exactly. I remember you talking about that. So I remember, first off, you talked about how important it was for people to be there. Power presence is the way we talk about it in counseling. You're also saying, look at the whole scripture, the whole counsel of God. You know, all the apostles had hard times, you know, so we're going to have hard times. Something else that kind of stuck out to me is when you talked about let people or invite them to tell their story. Could you talk a little bit more about that for our listeners?
Yeah, that I said that I feel like that comes from a really personal place, just in where I am. It's not like I always want to talk about, you know, Theodore or Bethany, you know, in every circumstance I'm in. But sorry, there's a bell because I'm out of school. and I'm not sure why it's going on because there's no students here. But anyway, I just know from my own experience, and I'm sure other people kind of experience things somewhat differently, but there's just this hunger in the sense of, like, if anyone's really going to know me and who I am, then they would have to know about Bethany. And it would help for them to actually know Bethany. And so, you know, I live here in Southern California now, and, you know, Bethany, we never lived here. I never lived here with her. And so even having, you know, like, friends here, like, there's a part of me that just says, hey, I kind of need to tell you here about her or about this, you know, this past, or else I'm, you know, because that's just such a big part of me and who I am. So that's kind of where that came from. And I suspect, and you could speak to this much better, but I suspect that is probably true of most people who experience grief, that they, you know, that they want a chance to tell their stories, maybe not even their stories of how they lost who they lost, but their stories of, hey, this is my brother, and let me tell you about him, because, you know, my brother, I love my brother so much, and he, you know, he died tragically, and, you know, like, they just want a chance to talk about him. And a lot of people approach that and say, hey, I'm never going to bring up so-and-so's brother. Yeah. Because I don't want to upset him. And I, you know, it's a hard thing to, you know, to balance, because you don't want to just go up and, you know,
right. Stab all for, Band-Aid all for.
Yeah.
And so sometimes people tiptoe around it, and but if folks will think about it, people want to hear about the person they loved, and you even see it in some funeral homes. Will say, "Do you have a favorite story or something that you could share?" And that's their way of getting at that. Like, no, we're not going to pretend like this person did not ever live, because that's not true. We want to own it, and especially it seems in working with people that lost children, they don't want that child forgotten. They don't want that. And so what you're saying is actually very proactive. You're in a place where people didn't know Bethany. Mm-hmm. So you're just kind of sitting them down and talking and going through that. And many people in other places, then we don't forget that somebody was married to someone, we're talking about it. And so like when something comes up, the last time we were here, all four of us were here together, we own that, and we're okay to talk about it. Don't have to pretend like, oh, I don't want to bring Bethany's name up,
That's definitely the case. I feel like a lot of people, maybe the temptation is to, hey, let's ignore, and so not to bring up these difficult things. But I do think it's so much easier, at least in the long run, to, like in my house, there are pictures of Bethany, and there are pictures of Theodore, and that's just, a reality of kind of the way we live life. We're not going to ignore those things, and we're not going to ignore talking about them. Doesn't mean that we talk about them every day at this point. No. But it is a common thing. Even actually right now, I just noticed my desktop background, which I stole my wife's computer, so this was originally hers. An artist actually painted for us a picture of our family. So it's me and my wife, Jackie, and the three kids, on one side, and then on the other side is Christ holding baby Theodore, and with his arm around Bethany. And it's a beautiful picture. And it's just a kind of a reminder that that they are with Christ, and this is one family. And so I see that all the time. I see that anytime I open this computer up. So
And so instead of trying to bury it, you're facing it, and you're encouraging others, think that way too. And there's just something healthy about that.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of Hebrews 12 kind of action, the cloud of witnesses and that kind of thing. There is some research that says, when people approach it or think it in that manner, they tend to handle it better, be healthier, if you will. Mm-hmm. So now I remember you also talking about encouragement. Do you remember some of the things that people did say and are still saying that is an encouragement to you and helping you along?
Now, I just remember specifically, me being over at a friend's house, and we were in Nashville, and this was just when I was with the three kids, and it was me, and I was working at Pleasant View Christian, and the kids were in the day or preschool there. And, I felt totally like my head was barely above water. And it was just a difficult, every day was difficult. Just getting the kids ready and to school and doing my job. And I got to say, I'll just apologize to every student I had when I was at Pleasant View, because I was a total mess. It's the definitely the worst teacher I ever was. I remember a friend just sharing and saying, you were doing such a good job with the kids. And the kids are doing so well, and just that encouragement. And I mean, it was just this kind of like, the most like precious thing anyone could have said. It's just a comment about hey, you know, I am doing a good job. And like, it's not the end of the, you know, they are alive and they're, you know, they're healthy and those kinds of things just was so meaningful to me. And those comments, you know, are important and maybe not to be said just flippantly, hey, you know, about everyone or else they'll lose their meaning. But people really do need to hear encouragement, especially going through something difficult, that encouraging them in what they are doing well or what they are doing right. And it really will help someone to keep going, to endure and to persevere through difficult times. So there's really, I don't know, there's not really enough you can say about it, but it's a simple thing of telling someone how, you know, how that they're doing a good job with something.
Yeah. And it's scriptural. And I will say in my experience working with people that sometimes they don't get that, you know, it's like, they don't understand somebody's been through what you've been through and you're able to get up every day, feed the kids, do some semblance of a lesson at school. That is pretty good, you know? And so if people need to hear that, because I don't think often people who are going through those things like you've been through understand that's pretty good. That's God basically, you know, carrying you through, and it's one step at a time. And so we just, those of us who are around have to identify, like you say, it's not flippant or just say, oh, you're doing, you know, we need some specifics sometimes, you know, he's matching clothes and his grade, your kid's grades are good considering all that's happened. Wow. That's pretty good. You know, we need to give you some specifics, but I remember you mentioning that and thought that was good. Now, the calendar is a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah. And this certainly doesn't come naturally for me. So I'm basing this off of, you know, the great things other people have done. But, you know, phones, which, you know, I'm not a big technology guy, but they can help us in this to go ahead and calendar things out in the future of saying, hey, I'm going to follow up with so-and-so. It's really easy to sort of come to someone's aid when they're experiencing something difficult. You know, someone loses their wife, to be there. But a month or two later, you know, it could just be, well, I don't know what to do anymore. So I'm not going to do anything. And so I mentioned that of calendaring those things out and following up. I had a friend who's a missionary, and we actually just got to see him and his family recently. They were here in Southern California. They served with us in Peru and then in Ethiopia. He was just fantastic at reaching out and, you know, a couple months later, hey, just sending you an email, how you doing? And just a very thoughtful kind of intentional approach to, you know, to kind of help and just, you know, letting me know that I was not forgotten. It was really important to do that. So yeah, that's something that I've kind of taken a note of and been like, I would have never thought of doing that. But it's been really good that someone did.
So maybe think, folks that are listening, you know, think about the anniversary of the event, the death, the birthdays of the individual. Think about times like Christmas and mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, which can bring unique challenges. And key is we do a lot initially, and then we get on with our lives, and time does just kind of run together. So you're saying mark it up. It does work good in our phones when we do that because it reminds us. And that's a tough day for a person that's gone through something like what you've gone through.
Okay. Well, let me just say this. If you are listening to this, it'd probably be a good idea to just go ahead and get out the phone and say, hey, I'm going to call somebody I know who's experienced something, you know, or text them around Christmas time. And then maybe also a couple months later, sometime in February or something like that, and say, hey, I'm going to follow back up with them then, and just to check in on them. It's simple, but can be a powerful thing.
It's a big difference. And then you said, pray, right?
Yeah, you know, there's really no, there's no substitute for that. And I would just say, you know, when it comes to prayer, that would, you know, if we're praying, I mean, just kind of the way it works, right? If you're praying for someone, then you're going to be thinking about them, and you're going to probably be more open to coming to their aid, or to reaching out to them, or to, you know, just being kind of a service to them in some way. So, I mean, God changes our hearts when we pray as well. And so that's, I think, a big part of the process. But I just know personally, I was fortunate enough to have so many people from, you know, having lived in lots of different places and have my parents as missionaries, I just had so many people from all over the world praying for me and my family during difficult seasons. And you know, I think that was really, really beneficial to us and being able to persevere what we persevered.
That's great. And so you're listening, you're thinking, how would I do this? You know, maybe go through and pray through your directory, and especially pray for widows, especially pray for those who've lost children. And all of us can do a good job. If you journal, it might be a good place to have a spot where people who've experienced extreme losses like this, you know, you've got a list of them that you're praying for them. And I think, like, you know, like you say, David, it helps us to know what to do. The Holy Spirit's working in your life. The Holy Spirit's working in our lives about, hey, send a card now, or shoot an email, or take them out for dinner or something, and helps us along with that. That's some powerful stuff, my friend. I think that's very helpful. Have we missed anything?
I don't think so. Yeah, I think everything on my list is covered.
And I should say, if you're, depending on when you're watching the podcast, but we have a little infographic that kind of summarizes all of that. It's at the NAFWB Facebook site. And so you could actually take that, print that, use it as a Bible study, and just, it's a way to put some tools in some folks' hands, because this is really, God's called each of us to do this. It's a way of being the Good Samaritan to someone in a tough time, and helps the church really be what God made the church to be. Well, thank you, Dave. I appreciate you taking the time to share this with us today and earlier in the other podcast. We just so appreciate you being willing to share about your experience, but also to provide some real powerful information about what we can do, because all of us know people who are hurting, and this is really some important information to try to help them out.
Well, I appreciate you having me on.
And we want to thank you that are listening. We encourage you to take the podcast, share it with others, someone that you know that could benefit from it. If you're on social media, go and like the page. Every little thing, if you can do a review, everything we do, it really does help. And remember, we truly are better when we work together. Thanks for being with us today.